Welcome to the Playbook. I'm David Meltzer. We're live here at the Masters, and we're talking about what I love to do, which is make a lot of money to help a lot of people and have a lot of fun. We have our friend Scott Ryan here, founder and CEO of Investiture, and they are doing good and doing well by giving opportunities in investment to help with mostly sustainability in our climate, which is necessary for human life. I always say the earth doesn't need our help. It's the humans that actually need our help. And it takes great leaders like Scott Ryan to help make sure that we're funding the appropriate projects that will help save humanity so that we have an earth to stay human on. Scott Ryan, welcome to the Playbook.
Thank you, David. Great to be here.
Appreciate you.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you've been able to integrate fintech, sustainability, environmental background and situational knowledge and relationship capital all into one. What first helped you to understand the importance of making a lot of money to help a lot of people? And why did you choose climate or sustainable as your backdrop to making money or investing it?
Yeah. So I think one of the things, everyone has a good foundation system. My family taught me the number one thing in life is happiness. Right, and then everyone has a different thing about what makes you happy. In my upbringing, what made us happy was one, having financial choice, right? So actually having good work ethic and always having money because money gives you choice. Number two is being intentional, right? And being intentional about what you do and not just, you know, so you don't regret things. And three is mental health, right? And so all three of those things have been part of my foundation. My family was therapists, psychologists, as well as business people. But so then I pursued a career in financial services, because that was the way I could definitely make money, but also follow those values. What I also have been since middle school age was I was an environmentalist, but as a middle schooler, environmentalism meant don't litter, recycle, right? But the, you know, you have to continuously learn. And what evolves since middle school to now is it's a climate problem, not an environmental problem. And a problem can be solved from resource allocation. Any problem, right? Climate, policy, human capital, and money. Most people talk about policy. They don't talk about money. And it's actually really easy to solve the monetary part of the climate crisis. People just don't know the scale of it and how much every one of them can have an impact on it.
You know, one of the philosophies I have in sustainability and environment is the time. And why time for me is so important is because throughout history, and history has, for me, revealed that human nature never changes. And throughout time, entrepreneurs, innovators like you, they've been able to solve all the problems. And I believe that entrepreneurs, innovators will solve all the problems. So why recycle? To give time to the entrepreneur to figure out how to clog the hole in the sky back up or convert plastic into food or the shit that entrepreneurs do. And people laugh when I say convert plastic into food. If somebody would have told me the shit that I can do today, like order something on a Sunday holiday at 4 a.m. and have it at my door at 7 a.m., some obscure toothbrush handle that I couldn't have found anywhere, I would have said that's just as impossible as converting plastic into food. But we need time. And so policy, to me, is only relevant as far as give these entrepreneurs and innovators enough time to raise the money and create the solutions to all the shit that we keep messing up because of human nature. For you, you raise that money, you give that money, but have you ever thought about looking at the timing and risk tolerance and picking and prioritizing the solutions that best will serve humanity?
Yeah, so one, I feel like we're just talking about the Jetsons, right? The data.
Right, yeah, right.
Right,
but and there's not, shit that goes on today that's right, better than the Jetsons.
Right. And now we're living the Jetsons, right?
Or better.
Or better, right? And better graphics as well.
Yeah, we're just missing the floating cars. Yes. That's all. Everything else is better today. The treadmill's better. The phones are better. Yeah. But the floating cars we don't have yet.
Yes.
Let
me talk about time. One of the things that I love and hate about people's philanthropy around the environment is I want to leave the planet to be a better place for my kids and my grandkids, right? We should solve the planetary problems yesterday, right? Not for the future generations, because it's a problem now. Just like social causes, whether it's gender equity or other things, are a problem now. It's not to solve it for your kids, it's to solve it. I say, I'm trying to solve it for my parents' generation and every generation after versus my kids' generation and every generation after, right? Now, one of my favorite experiences since I launched Investiture about 2 years ago is when I talk to people who've been environmentalists their whole career. And they're like, oh, I've been working on this new hydrogen fusion technology. I've been figuring out how to do regenerative agriculture. I have the best recycling program ever. I'm like, great. Have you ever thought about changing your bank or reallocating your investments? Did you, like, what do you mean? I'm like, well, did you know that if you have more than $75,000, the most impactful thing you can do for the climate is change your bank and change your investments? And for every multiple above that, if you're not intentional about your bank and your investments, you're actually being an unintentional problem for the climate. And their minds get blown. And I'm like, they've been working their whole lives trying to solve the planetary problem. And they didn't think, I showed them, here's a new resource you weren't even thinking about, right? And I give them actions they can take that night to change their banking. And also they get better interest rates, better service, and their banks are green banks. They're lending out to climate solutions. So it's a triple win. It's not just tree hugging. It's actually better for your pocket and for the climate and for your, I'll say, soul. Right, depending on you, but just your mental health.
And those are quick changes that anybody can make.
Yeah.
Where can people go to find out where they can get a new bank and get new investments?
Yeah, so banking is a very simple business, right? Just like It's a Wonderful Life. It's the savings and loan business, right? So you lend money so banks can, you deposit money so they can lend it out. There's a website called Bank Green. It's a global website. It'll tell you wherever you live in the world, one, the bank you're with today for your family or your business, how much of its lending book goes out to pollution, fossil fuels, dirty manufacturing, but also move your money to this other alternative, right? And so I'm an American, and so there's four banks in there that I frequently cite on this website. One's called Beneficial State Bank, Walden Mutual Bank, Amalgamated Bank, Climate First Bank. They all have better interest rates than the national and regional banks. They act like a community bank, but you can use them anywhere. They're all FDIC insured. And all of their loans go out to small farmers doing regenerative agriculture, clean energy projects, social causes in the communities. So better interest, better service, and you can do it tonight. Move some money and experience it.
So smart. Now, Investor not only helps our environment, our climate, but it also helps employers.
Yeah.
What value do you bring to employers as well?
Yeah, so it's funny. The origin story of Investor was first a tree hugger one, right? Where I wanted to help solve the climate crisis by helping close the financial gap, where the world needs about $8 trillion a year more spent on climate solutions, which sounds like a big number. Million sounds like a lot. Billion sounds a lot. Trillion sounds a lot. It's less than 1% of the world's balance sheet. Right, so if the world allocated 1% of its balance sheet to climate solutions, the monetary part of climate solutions will be solved like that. The world only allocates about a quarter of its money to climate solutions right now, which is why the problem continues to grow. Now, take this to an employer level, though. You got to have business value, not just tree hugger value. Employers spend money on retirement plans, on financial education. Typically, it's about 6% of the money that employees spend on their employers. Sorry, employers spend on their employees. All of that money is spent to attract and retain talent. How many people are actually staying at their employer because of their 401k plan or the financial literacy they're given? Nobody. People, in fact, are taught to not pay attention to it. They're taught to set it and forget it in the US. The same thing is true in Australia, the Netherlands, Canada, systems that are similar. And it's people might look at it for 10 minutes a year. If an employer is spending 7% of their money on something an employee looks at 10 minutes a year, are they getting a return on investment? I don't think they are. So you need to give people something that actually engages with them, engages with their financial literacy, as well as the other things they care about. And we believe Investor will bring that value to the employers and to the employees.
You've had so many extraordinary achievements over the years, and things happen very slowly, then all of a sudden, even in the environment, which is part of the difficulty of sustainability or awareness of our finances or our climate, is things happen very slowly, and then all of a sudden, even population happens very slowly, and all of a sudden, I remember, you know, just thinking about if the world was half full of people, and it was doubling every 20 years, in 20 years, we need the whole world. And then in 20 more years, we would need two worlds.
Yeah,
that's what's happening with our environment. But with all the achievements that you've had, what's one of the unexpected achievements that you've seen? And is it related to technology, finance?
Yeah.
Where did it come from?
Yeah, so in my recent career being an entrepreneur in sustainable finance, the thing that's surprised me and actually been, it's really like filled my bucket or filled my soul, is there's a lot of people who've been doing this for decades before in the US and other places. And in the US, there's been tailwinds growing, but the US has never been as far advanced as East Asia or Europe in terms of actually society moving towards solving the climate crisis. The US had the biggest investment in the history of the planet financially, about $400 billion, like 6 years ago. And people have been fighting for environmental finance and causes in the US for years, like, finally, like, the money is there. It's not just the charitable giving. And then that money went away about 2 years ago. And so they're all of their hope escalating and then dropped. And so I'm coming in where I started doing this like 3 months before that. I have new energy, new perspectives, and I'm picking them up off the floor. I'm like, let me give you hope, right? Here's a different thing that you weren't doing before that's not tied to political money, but that personal money can solve that same problem. Let me learn from you so I can better what you've been doing, but also let me pick you up off the floor. And I've now, instead of them being my mentors, they're also my mentees, just because of the moment that they were going through when I came in at the right time.
You talked about the simple way of changing our banking, changing our investment, but obviously you still face multiple hurdles.
Yeah.
What do you think, as individuals, the biggest hurdle of the United States population is?
Well, I would say one for my business, and then I'll say for like the U.S. population. We believe in walking the talk through our employee base. So actually all of our employees, we want them to actually be intentional about their banking, right? Doesn't mean you have to change, but you have to be consciously aware, hey, I've been doing this. I've been at the same bank for 15 years. Why? Right? I've been investing the same way for 15 years or 50 years. Why? To be intentional about new data, we're telling people that about 18% of your investments are actively funding the fossil fuel industry and dirty manufacturing if you don't pay attention. Same thing on the banking side. And they're like, and here's a better alternative investment in fixed income, alts, and equities, or in banking. So we teach people, one, here's a problem, two, here's an actual next best action. The amount of energy it takes to even get our own employees, our own board, to move their own money has been surprising, because people join, they get in the investor boat because they like what we're trying to do. But if you can't change yourself, how are you going to convince your clients to change? Right? And so the amount of inertia and mental energy it took to get people away from autopilot to being actionable has been the greatest challenge. In US society, it's been most people feel like, but all this stuff is in the news that climate is like not being supported. It's a problem right now. Is getting people to filter out the noise and be like, here's a simple action you can take right now, right? Just take it, right? And then following up with them a month later, you said you were going to take it, now take it. Or if you didn't take it, why not? So that I can teach you to take it, I can bring you along, or I can get better at the message so you take it. It's the momentum building part when people are like, oh my God, light bulb. But did I take the action? Because until you take the action, you have zero impact.
To finish up, there's a problem that I call the big problem problem. And it applies to, my opinion, a lot of the problems that we face, is that when a problem happens now, it's so big that people feel powerless, or it's so big that it allows more manipulation. And I think climate, sustainable issues are one of those that people just think, like politics, it's just so big, I'm going to have no impact.
Yes.
Or it's so big, it's so manipulated, I'm not a manipulator, I'm not powerful enough to manipulate, so I'm just going to stay out of the manipulation, do my best, learn lessons, and have fun with my life. How, because I'd love to see your perspective, how should we look when you're not the only big problem, but you're an expert at big problems. How should we look at big problems when we see, well, I'm not going to have any impact, or worse, it's manipulated anyway and I'm not going to have any impact?
Yeah, so I like to take a big step back, and certain things in life are just simple, right? In terms of best practice of how like you live your life. You should wake up in the morning saying, this is what I want to achieve, versus react to what comes at you, right? You should not get drowned in the news cycle, whether it's a news cycle or like family gossip. You should be like, these are what experts are saying. This is what I care about. This is what's actionable. Control what you can control and ignore the rest, right? Just be aware of the rest, but control what you can control. Have an action plan every morning and take it. And those things are still true, right? And whether it's 1,000 years ago or in today's media cycle. still control what you can control, be intentional about your time, and take the actions. And it's no different for climate. It's just once you're educated on something that's new, just like everyone's talking about agentic AI will make your life more efficient. That is true. Take the action to do that. I educate people on that you can solve a climate crisis or a social cause you care about with your investments and your banking, not just your charitable giving. Now you know that. Do it. And it's no more complicated than that.
It's so funny because I teach 5 daily practices of knowing what you want in your divine direction, yeah. Changing the meaning or the definition that you give your past to expand that limitation that we put on ourselves, but also know who.
Yeah,
which is why you're so important. Know who you can help and who can help you. Then you can figure out the easiest and fastest way of how. Reprioritize, pre-prioritize, or prioritize according to that divine direction. And then the whole world, instead of searching for a why, searching for an answer, getting overwhelmed, procrastinating, as you suggest, two of the biggest problems, we now apply our why, which is a form of faith and a form of wisdom when we're applying our why to that which scares us the most, the big problems that we feel will have no impact on, or worse, that are being manipulated, that leave or render us powerless. You are empowering people with an understanding and awareness of how we can do some simple things to change and save our world. Please remember, as you reach out to Scott Ryan, it's the simple things to do that are simple not to do. So please reach out. Where can people reach you, Scott?
Yeah, so you can reach me on LinkedIn, or you can go to my company's webpage, Investiture, Invest in the Future, Invest in Nature, and fill out the contact us form, and we'll get right back to you.
Not only say thank you tonight, but change your bank you tonight as well. I'm David Meltzer here at the Masters. It's like none other, and we are like none other. We're blessed to be here with Scott Ryan, CEO and founder of Investiture. I'm David Meltzer with Entrepreneurs, the Playbook.